The story you are about to hear is fictitious. The character and portions of the story are based on historical accounts. The story is told the way it might occur through the realization of the times and from the perceptiveness of the character. The listener should take heed as portions of this narrative contain adult humor and some content may not be suitable for younger listeners. My name is Luke McGlue, better recognized in Southwest Kansas as a mischief maker. Most people who know me say I show immense charisma. I have a gift of putting a smile on a man's face, and when a man disagrees with me, I just turn on my elegance with selected wit and a smile. Everything I do in life turns out in my favor, and important men surround me, hoping some of my sparkles might rub off on them. I have this keen ability to spin a web of fascination around everyone who employs my humor. I'm a real charmer. I'm creative, too. I'm good at playing out the abstracted confusion in the same way a midget is good at being short. As soon as I arrived in Dodge City, I had everyone figured out, from the mayor down to the bartenders and the saloons, not including some of the dance hall girls. I could win those girls over easily with a light touch of a sly joke with my quick and clever mind. The best I can remember, I arrived in Dodge City in 1877, and soon joined up with a few members of the Dodge City Gang. The Dodge City Gang equaled a group of lawmen and business leaders who accommodated the Texas cowboy and their rowdy behavior. It happened to be my first day in town, so I crossed over to the south side of the tracks and sat on a bench in front of the Lady Gay Saloon. Next to me sat an old-timer. He said his name was Smiley, but from the looks of him, he had no need for a dentist. Smiley's eyes was severely bloodshot. He appeared as if he had spent most of the night in one or of all of the 16 saloons. Even though he seemed to be in a stupor of a mood, he roused up and gave me a howdy. From the bench where we was sitting, I saw a man coming down the boardwalk. Ahead of the man was a male greyhound dog on a long leash. The dog stopped, reached his head under his hind legs, and took a good long lick. Smiley, who sat next to me, took note of the dog and said, "All me life I wished I could do that." I got up from the bench, stared down at old man Smiley and said, "You better pet him first. He looks mean as hell." I looked back at Smiley and he was grinning like a jackass-eating cactus. I followed the man and his dog into the Lady Gay Saloon, stepped up to the bar, sat next to the man and ordered a drink. The man with the greyhound dog sitting next to him introduced himself. He said his name was Kelly, and he held the position of mayor of Dodge City. "I'm part owner of the Beatty and Kelly restaurant, and I love animals," he says. "I had a pet bear by the name of Patty, up until 6 months ago, that is." Mayor Kelly turned, raised his shot glass to me, and jeered, "Let's make a toast to Patty." Mayor Kelly continued his story. "My Patty Bear was involved in many practical jokes. He was the town pet and often broke loose from his bonds. The animal grew larger, and the rowdy cowboys often tormented my poor Patty Bear. Patty had to put up with those rowdy cowboys throwing trash at him. Patty became so mean he'd steal a fly from a blind spider if someone messed with him. So he finally took his revenge on the human race. This revenge was rather noticeable after we found the arm of a drunk Texas drover half-eaten in his bear cage. I knew Mayor Kelly was serious about his pet bear from the expression on his face. He never smiled, frowned, or even changed his voice. This showed me there was clearly nothing ridiculous or funny about his story. He was during a moment of silence in the mayor's voice when I responded. "Tragic news," I said. "You have to admire Patty, for only an idiot would put his arm into a bear cage." "What happened to Patty Bear?" I asked. "Patty became crazy enough to eat the devil with his horns on, so I had to exterminate him a few months ago. I served him up as the principal dish at our community Christmas dinner. He made a fine patty of meat, and I had a large turnout for the dinner," the mayor solemnly replied. "You know," Kelly said with amusement, "I never got up enough nerve to get married. although I do have a fondness for a singer who I met at Cap Supply. I always thought of women as a silver saucer into which we put our golden apples. I have three pets at home which answer the same purpose as a wife. I have a dog that growls at me every morning, a parrot that swears all afternoon, and a cat that comes home late at night. Well, Mar, I said, I have to agree with you about that marriage thing. You just never know which way the pickle's going to squirt, especially when it comes to women. Mayor Kelly further explained, the citizens of Dodge City call me Dog Kelly on account of me dogs are always around me. This was at the time when the Greyhound seemed to become somewhat aroused by the dance hall girl that stood next to the mayor. The dog's nose had become deeply embedded in the backside of the girl's knee socket. Yet it was not the dog's nose causing the excitement. It's what had given rise in the male appeal of desire, which caused my attention. I stood ready to act quickly if the dog decided to relieve himself. I would simply give the dog my boot while I rescued the dance hall girl's leg. I could tell by the dog's salivated look he was not pleased to experience my boot over his intended lunge. The dog was so angry with me that he began gritting his teeth like he could bite the sights off a six-gun. The mayor noticed my fashionable intervention. He reached down and pulled his dog back before he presented his business. Dog Kelly then glanced up at me and asked if I would take his dog out back behind the saloon. I agreed to do so, thinking I had become plumb weak north of me ears to agree to take the dog outside. The dog was so mad at me he would have bit himself if I would have let him. I took hold of the leash, moved in the direction of the front door with the dog slightly ahead of me. It was when the dog and I had reached the outside boardwalk when a man in the black duster inquired about the dog. He asked me if my dog bites. I said no. The man reached down to pet the dog. The dog bit his hand. The man screamed out in terror, saying, "You said your dog did not bite." I smiled back at the man and frankly declared, "That dog is not mine." The man acted angry with me. His face clouded in rage like he had grasped onto a hot coal. He then reached for his sidearm. I wasted no time disappearing down the boardwalk and into a side alley, narrowly escaping the barrel of a smoking six-gun. I found myself hiding in the shadows of the alley. I stood flat with my back braced firmly against the outside wall of the building. Then the unexpected occurred. A dog began barking at me from the street. I peeped out from my hiding place and found Dog Kelly's greyhound. The dog looked ornery. His under jaw stuck out with his teeth shining while he barked at me. The dog had exposed me. I glanced out a second time to see the man in the black duster headed in my direction. He held in his right hand a bloodied Colt revolver. I heard the man say, "So this is where you were hiding," as he swiftly moved in my direction. I listened to the sound of his boots hit the solid wood planks. His spurs clanked with every pace of his footsteps. It did not take long for him to reach me. I now found myself in a life-threatening predicament. The man appeared. His black duster was pulled back over his holster with his gun belt exposed. I felt helpless as I saw he had a bead on me. He pointed his gun down the narrow alley, aiming the barrel directly at my head. I had nowhere to run. There was only one way out, and my passageway was blocked by the man who stood in front of me. I braced myself, closed my eyes, hearing only the cock of the hammer, and waited for my fraught moment with death. What happened next was simply amazing. For as soon as the man pulled back the hammer on his pistol, he also disappeared in a flash with a blow. It seemed as if the local marshal, Larry Dagger, had tracked this man for some time. Marshal Dagger, with one swing in the butt end of his shotgun, took the man out. Dagger's fierce blow to the man's head was so forceful that he lasted as long as a pint of whiskey in a five-handed poker game. My aggressor now lay helplessly on the ground. Thanks to Marshal Dagger, I did not end my time in Dodge City on what would have been a very short stay. It was at that point in my life I knew I had found a home and felt like a rich possum in gravy. Nah, my legend had to live on, so Dodge City would have an extra story or two to write or talk about. Thanks for listening to our podcast. This podcast is licensed under a Creative Commons Attribute, non-commercial license. You can learn more about the legends of Dodge City by visiting our website at worldfamousgunfighters.weebly.com.